Okay, well, it's a blessing to be here. Together, let's pray. Our God in heaven, we're thankful, Lord, that we can be here like this again today and just be together and learn the things that you have for us. We thank you, God, for your word, and we thank you for truth. Thank you for your kingdom and in sending your Son to teach us the way. Help us, Lord, to learn and to follow you, and just give us wisdom today. Bless the brothers wherever they are today in Mexico. Be with them, Brother David and Marcus, Floyd, the congregation down there too, and Brother Daniel, and just be with them. And the boys traveling, Olin and Brian too. Give them strength and understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, turn to Genesis 3. Just a little overview, just thinking about the big picture a little bit, how God created mankind. He put us here. He made us. And He made us all. He offers to each of us eternal life if we'll just follow Him. And He just tells us real plainly the consequences of our lives. And ever since I was young, I thought the main problem that I see with our existence and the way we are and everything and the way God set everything up is that we die after a while, and we can't just continue on. You know, when I was just younger and looking at the world and thinking about what I wanted to do and what I wanted to be and just what all I could accomplish, but I kept running into dying sometime, and then everything's going to be over and just... So... But God has offered a way that we can live forever if we want to. But there's just a school and a learning that we need to go through. And that's just called surrender to God and His ways. We need to surrender everything to Him and to order to learn in that school. And it's so... selfish men that want to live forever so they can live for themselves don't want to enter that school, and so they won't live forever. So it's just, there's just no room for selfishness. We just need to surrender to God and go through this learning. And in this learning, there's tests like there is in a real school. We all go through tests in our lives. Just every one of us does. And I wanted to look this morning at some examples in the Scripture of tests that people went through, just hard times in their lives, just to see what we can see from the things that they went through. So let's read here in Genesis 3 and look at how Adam and Eve were tempted. They were tested just to see what they were made of. Now the serpent was more cunning than all the wild animals the Lord God made on the earth. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat from every tree of the garden?'" Just could look like an innocent question there. Just did God say that? Just a question. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit from the trees of the garden, but from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, 'You shall not eat from it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall not die by death. For God knows in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like gods, knowing good and evil.'" So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree beautiful to contemplate, she took its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of the two were opened, and they knew they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Then they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden that afternoon. And Adam and his wife hid themselves within the tree in the middle of the garden from the presence of the Lord God. So the Lord God called Adam and said to him, "Adam, where are you?" He replied, "I heard your voice as you were walking in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." Thus he said, "Who said you were naked? Have you eaten from the one tree which I commanded you not to eat?" Then Adam said, "The woman you gave me of the tree, and I ate." So the Lord said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." I think we'll stop reading there. But I guess it was back maybe in a little earlier, chapter 2, the Lord God commanded Adam, saying back in 2:16, "You may eat food from every tree in the garden, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you may not eat, for in whatever day you eat from it you shall die by death." So that was just one thing the Lord said to them. And Satan came and tempted them, and we can see that he just started with just a question. And then he told an outright lie, "You shall not die by death." And it's easier for us to see now, looking back, that they did actually die one day. And they wouldn't have died before, but they did die. But in their lifetime, just living there, it almost looked like maybe Satan did understand something that God didn't, because they didn't die whenever they touched it that day. They didn't just keel over that day. So what I'm saying is, in our lives, we can't see everything. And it looks to us like, well, maybe there is some validity on, you know, or in the temptation that we're facing. Well, maybe it isn't quite like God says. And we just can't see it all real clear, because we're just going through it, right? In our lifetime, we're just going through it. And we can't see any more than a narrow scope, you know. It's not like here where we're looking back on it and see everything. So, anyway, they hid when God came walking and talking to them there in the afternoon. They hid within the tree in the middle of the garden. That's interesting. They hid within the tree in the middle of the garden. I'm not sure if they hid inside the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I just don't know. But anyway, they weren't supposed to touch the tree either. But here they were hiding within the tree in the middle of the garden, because they knew that they had done something wrong. They went through a test. They went through a temptation. And they wanted to know something that they didn't know already. You know, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we're still tempted, aren't we, with wanting to know the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We just want to know a lot of things that we don't even need to know. We just want to know more. We live in the information age, and just universities and smartphones, and we just want to know everything. And it's easy to do that. But that's not really what it takes to follow God, is just knowing everything. That's just not what God asks us to, that we don't have to know everything. In fact, I just wanted to read 1 Corinthians 8, 1 through 3, about knowledge. First Corinthians 8, 1 through 3. "Now concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. If anyone supposes that he knows anything, he has not yet known as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by him." Okay, so what's knowledge makes arrogant. Knowledge, you know, puffs up, like it says in the King James, puffeth up. But we think we know everything, and we just get proud. But love edifies. So, which is more important here? Knowing everything and knowing for sure, and knowing so we know that we know, and just make certain that we just really have to know both sides of every issue and just really know everything so we can make informed decisions, or love, loving God. If anyone loves God, he is known by him. God knows us if we love him. Do we want to be known by God? Do we want God to know who we are? You want God to know you? But you don't have to just be super smart and just know everything that's going on. But you need to love God. Oh. Yeah, and so let's now go over to Job and look at his testing a little bit. What he was tested with. And in these Septuagints we got, it's page 779. I have to learn how to find stuff. I'd like to read here Job. It's just such a blessing and so interesting to read all this. I thought if you don't mind, we'd read the whole first two chapters. It's just a blessing to read this. Let's start here. Job 1. And think about his testing and what he was going through. And it's, I think that God put this in the Bible here for us so that we could see a little bit what's going on, you know, whenever we're being tempted. We go through temptations too and tests and trials. And we can think, we know now what's going on in heaven, and we know there's a devil that's trying hard just from this story to get us, you know. There was a man in the land of Asitus whose name was Job. That man was true, blameless, righteous, and God-fearing, and he abstained from every evil thing. And this is even in the Old Testament, or before the Old Testament, or before children of Israel. Now he had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and his cattle consisted of 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys in the pastures. Moreover, he possessed a very large number of house servants. His works were also great on the earth, and that man was the most noble of all the men of the East. His sons would visit one another and prepare a banquet every day, and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When the days of their drinking were ended, Job sent and purified them, and he rose early in the morning and offered sacrifices for them according to their number, as well as 1 calf for the sins of their souls. For Job said, "Lest my sons consider evil things in their mind against God." Therefore Job did this continually. Then, as it so happened one day, that behold, the angels of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and the devil also came with them. And the Lord said to the devil, "Where did you come from?" So the devil answered the Lord and said, "I came here after going about the earth and walking around under heaven." Then the Lord said to him, "Have you yet considered my servant Job, since there is none like him on the earth, a blameless, true and God-fearing man, and one who abstains from every evil thing?" So the devil answered and said before the Lord, "Does Job worship the Lord for no reason? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his cattle have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all he has, and see if he will bless you to your face." Then the Lord said to the devil, "Behold, whatever he has I give into your hand, but do not touch him." Thus the devil went out from the Lord. Now there was a day when Job's sons and daughters were drinking wine in the house of their elder brother, and behold, a messenger came to Job and said, "The yokes of oxen were plowing, and the female donkeys were feeding beside them. Then raiders came and took them captive and killed the servants with the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said to Job, "Fire fell from heaven and burned up the sheep, and likewise consumed the shepherds, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "Horsemen formed three bands against us, surrounded the camels, and took them captive and killed the servants with the sword. I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine with their elder brother, and suddenly a great wind came from the desert and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on your children, and they died, and I alone have escaped to tell you." Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved off the hair of his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped, saying, "Naked came I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. As it seemed good to the Lord, so also it came to pass. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all these things that happened, Job did not sin against the Lord or charge God with folly. Then again, as it so happened another day, the angels of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and the devil also came among them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said to the devil, "Where did you come from?" Then the devil said before the Lord, "I came here from walking around under heaven and going about all the earth." Then the Lord said to the devil, "Have you considered my servant Job, since there is none like him on the earth, an innocent, true, blameless, and God-fearing man, and one who abstains from every evil thing? Moreover, he still holds fast to his integrity, though you told me to destroy his possessions without cause." Then the devil answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, whatever a man has, he will pay in full for his life. Yet truly, stretch out your hand and touch his bones and his flesh, and see if he will bless you to your face." So the Lord said to the devil, "Behold, I give him over to you, only spare his life." Thus the devil went out from the Lord and struck Job with malignant sores from head to foot. So he took a potsherd to scrape away the discharge and sat on the dunghill outside the city. When a period of time passed, his wife said to him, "How long will you hold out, saying, 'Behold, I will wait a little longer, looking for the hope of my salvation'? Listen, your memory is wiped out from the earth. Your sons and daughters, the pangs and pains of my womb, which I suffered in vain and with hardships, you yourself are sitting down, spending the nights in the open air among the rottenness of worms. And I go about as a wanderer and a handmaid from place to place and from house to house, waiting for the setting of the sun so as to rest from my labors and pains that now beset me. But say a word against the Lord and die." Then Job looked at her and said, "You have spoken as one of the foolish women speaks. If we accepted good things from the Lord's hand, shall we not endure evil things?" In all these things that happened to him, Job did not sin with his lips against God. Now when Job's three friends heard of all the evil that had come upon him, each one came to him from his own place. Eliphaz, the Temanite king, Bildad, the Shuhite ruler, and Zophar, the Naamathite king. For they came to him with one accord to visit and comfort him. Now when they saw him from a distance, they did not recognize him. They cried with a loud voice and wept. Each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head. So they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke to him, for they saw that his affliction was terrible and very great. Job was a great man, a rich man, and just looked up to, a noble, most noble of all the men of the East. But he was a true, blameless, righteous, God-fearing man, abstained from every evil. And God was blessing him. He was helping him. Just set a hedge about Job so no one could touch him. His cattle just increased and just things just went really well for Job. God was blessing him. And the devil just didn't like it. The devil wanted everybody to worship him and just serve him. He didn't like righteous people on the earth. The devil just hates righteousness. And so Job was tested. He just was tried in the furnace. There was difficult times came to Job because God allowed it to come. And God we'll allow that in our lives too. There's just going to come times whenever God's going to allow us to be tested. He's going to allow us to be tried. He's going to allow hard things to come. And it's just, we can stay faithful, or we can curse God and die. There's just, we just need to be true if we want to love and serve God. And it's just up to us, and just the strength of every man is just going to be tested to see what we're made of. That's just part of the reason that we're on this earth and given free will, and so that it can be known what we're made of, what we really are, who we really are. That's the reason for the difficult things that come. We ask, why? What? Why is this happening? What is going on? Did I do something wrong here? What? But this is just part of the school that we're going through. There's tests, just like school children have tests once in a while to see what they really know, to see whether they've been studying or whether they've just been playing around and not learning what they need to learn. So God is trying to see if we're just playing around or if we're learning the things that He wants us to learn. What are we doing with our lives? So God just allows these things to happen, and we might as well allow those things to happen to us too, and not try to just shield ourselves from every bad thing that could happen, and just look for a perfectly safe place where we're never going to have to face hardships. And so why don't we just let things be simple and just let every man stand on his own and just walk, and instead of trying to make rules to prop everybody up, just let it be simple. Let God judge us. Let God work with us, and just instead of trying to keep everybody propped up with some kind of a rule or something. This way it's clear, it's obvious, it's more simple that God can test us. So I thought also of Abraham and how he was tested in Genesis 22. I'd like to go there too. Genesis 22. We're all tested with different things. Everybody's test is a little different. Adam and Eve were tested with wanting to know knowledge, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Job was tested with having his possessions all taken away. And Abraham here was tested with something a little different. His only son that he loved very, very much. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your beloved son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a whole burnt offering on one of the mountains, I tell you. What do you think Abraham thought? Just like a ton of bricks there, just offer him there as a whole burnt offering. What? And he could have just thrown up his hands right there and said, I've wondered already what God's really like. Now I see. He's just a tyrant. I see now pretty clear. God just hates me, actually. That's what he could have thought. That's what it, for all the world, looked like to him right then. And we see what Abraham was made of here. Verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split firewood for the whole burnt offering and arose and went to the place God told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Thus Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." So Abraham took the firewood of the whole burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. Then he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. Then Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the firewood, but where is the sheep for the whole burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the sheep for a whole burnt offering." So the two of them went together. They came to the place where God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the firewood in order. And he bound Isaac his son hand and foot and laid him on the altar upon the firewood. Then Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." He then replied, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know you fear God, since for my sake you have not spared your beloved son." Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him a ram was caught in the thicket by its horns. So he brought it for a whole burnt offering in the place of his son. Thus Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord has appeared," as it is said to this day, "In the mountain the Lord was seen." Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you did this thing and for my sake you did not spare your beloved son, I will certainly bless you and assuredly multiply your seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand on the seashore, and your seed shall inherit the cities of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his servants, and they rose and went together to the well of Oath, and Abraham dwelt at the well of Oath. That was a difficult test for Abraham. That was hard. We face tests too. We love our family. We love our children. We love our friends and those close to us. And sometimes we're tested to see if we love God more or if we love them more. And we might as well expect that not all of our testings are behind us in this life. There's probably still more to come. Especially with those of us with young children growing up, and just we don't know how our children are going to choose, but we love our children, but we just need to love God more than our children and just keep on walking and being faithful to God in those tests. That's common to all man. All mankind faces these things. Some people pass their tests and some people don't pass their tests. Some people are willing just to wait on the Lord and be patient, you know, and just see what God is going to do. Others have to rush ahead and try to figure everything out right now and just figure out exactly what they need to do and march ahead and go do it when they don't. Wait on the Lord. Just be patient and see when you're not quite sure. Just be faithful. Walk in the things that you've learned, things that you've seen so far, and just keep on being faithful, and God will keep showing us the next step to take. And we just need to trust God. And I'm sure that Abraham learned because he was faithful in this test. Maybe he did have questions before that, you know, about what God is really like. But because he was faithful in this test and he just stayed true to God, I'm sure he learned an awful lot through this that he went through. And after this, I think he just could easier see that God is good. He sure enough is the good God that I thought he was. You know, we're all tempted to think thoughts that may not be right. We think good sometimes. Sometimes we're tempted with evil. And Abraham was no exception. He, I'm sure, was tempted to wonder who this God he really was that he was serving. He had left the idol worship long ago, back with Terah, his father, and was serving God. And he really believed in God. But he was tested here, just to see and what he was made of. And he just stayed true to God. He believed, he had faith in God. And so we need to just do the same thing. Believe in God. Follow God and believe that He is good. And just let Himself be proved. And so it's hard sometimes. I know it's just difficult to just keep walking, keep trusting in God. But if we don't believe in God, or if we give in to the temptations, like Abraham could have, when it looked like God was a tyrant here asking him to give his son as a burnt offering, if he would have said, just think a little, if Abraham would not have obeyed God there and just said, you know what, this is ridiculous, this is as far as I'm going, I can't go any further, this is nonsense, I kill my only son, if he would have just done that, where would he have gone? You know, I guess back to idols and the worshiping the evil tyrant idols that heathens are forever trying to please and pacify so that it rains and all that. And he would just have been more convinced than ever. Just sure. He had tried God for many years, and here it ended like that, and he would have gone back to his idol worship, I guess, and just been sure that God just was no good. And that's all he could have seen at that point. He would have just been absolutely certain, just completely deceived. But because he just kept on walking, and he just kept on following this God that even in this test and trial, he came through it at the other end saying, sure enough, God is good. God is very good. I just want to keep on following Him. I'm sure that's what he thought at the end there. Just what a blessing. God is good, and God... It just looks sometimes like maybe God is bad and maybe God is way too hard on us. But God isn't. And God is watching very, very closely. He had His angel call out to Abraham at the exact right moment to save Isaac. God is paying close attention. He was then and He still is now. And we've never seen God with our eyes, and we just wonder, and we read words in the book, and we hear people talking, and we just could be tempted to just question everything, and we are tempted to question everything. But I just really like that verse. The path of the just is as a shining light which shineth more and more unto the perfect day, but the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So things are going to get more and more clear, or they're going to get darker and darker for us, depending on how we live and how we walk. So, and then another test, I just thought about Joseph. I don't think we'll turn there, but Joseph was tested. He was tested when his brothers were mean to him and threw him in a pit and sold him as a slave. He was just tempted to see if he was going to be kind and love and forgive them, or if he was going to get bitter and angry and upset and never forgive them. You know, that was just a test that Joseph went through. He was tempted with Potiphar's wife. He stayed true. So just because you're tempted to things that seems so bad that you hope nobody ever knows you were tempted with that, Don't get discouraged. Look at these people in the Bible that were tempted with things, tested, just to see what kind of men they really were, whether they were going to stand up and be a man and be faithful and do what was right, no matter who saw, no matter... Joseph was, I don't know, 500 miles from where his father was and his family, and he stayed true. He did what he knew was right. He was a man. He stood. He didn't just succumb, you know, and fall. So that's an example and a blessing for us. And I thought of Joshua and Caleb, how they were tempted too there, just to whether they were going to be men and just stand and say the truth and speak the truth when they went to spy out the land of Canaan, you know, there, or whether they were going to lie and just say, yeah, just to keep their reputation among the people, they could have just told the lie just like the other 10 so that they'd be accepted among their brothers. And we know how angry the others got at those two for speaking up and saying, we can do this. Somehow it's always a smaller number that stands than that wobble and fall. It just is that way. Just always is that way. There's few that want to stand and just do what's right. So just take courage from those that have stood in the past, Joshua and Caleb. 10 to 2 was the report was negative on the 10 and positive on just Joshua and Caleb. And that's the only ones that had that faith in God, you know, that they could believe and that they could go through. So, and Job 23, I just wanted to read a verse there yet. Job 23, verse 10, "For he knows my way already, and he has weighed me as gold. I will go forth in his commandments, for I have kept his ways and will not turn aside. I will not disregard his commandments, but I have hidden his words in my bosom. If he too has thus judged, who is he that has opposed him? Whatever he has willed, that he has done. Therefore I pursue him zealously, and when I was instructed, I thought of him. Therefore let me be serious before his face. I will consider and be afraid of him. For the Lord softened my heart, for the Almighty has alarmed me. For I did not know darkness would come upon me, but thick darkness covered my face." That was Job just commenting more on his trials and testing there. He didn't know darkness would come upon him, but thick darkness did cover his face. He couldn't see. He just had to hold on to what he knew, just walk in that faith. And the Lord weighed him as gold. Why do we weigh stuff? We weigh stuff to see what it's made of or how what it really has. You know, how heavy is it? What do I really have here in this bag? I'm going to weigh it. And God weighs us too, just to see what we really are made of, you know, and what we really have. That's God is going to do that with every person. So just be faithful, keep on walking and following the Lord, and let the Lord work things out. You know, there's a lot of things we don't understand, and we don't have to know everything at this point. People try to know everything. And that's part of the reason sorcery and being a witch or a wizard is so attractive to people. They just want to know new stuff that they know they probably shouldn't even know, but they want to know just everything there is to know. And so they partake of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they just want to know stuff that's not for them to know. So let's just be content with the boundaries God's placed on us, you know, just to be here in this world and to be tested and go through His school and go through His tests. And but the tests that we go through and that weighing us, it's not then that your character is made. Your character and is made before that, while you're just walking in the humdrum of normal, monotonous life, just living your normal life. That's when you make your character and make your decisions and decide what kind of a person you're going to be. Crises don't—they don't really make character. They just reveal what kind of character you already had before that crisis struck. So we're all going to be weighed, and we're all going to be tested. Going to go through these things sooner or later. We might as well just every day, right now, while you're learning, growing, going through everyday life, just be faithful. Just decide how you're going to be, so that whenever hard times come and tests and trials and that just blow your life apart and make you wonder what in the world's going on, then God will see what he needs to see. So those that try to quick cram at test time usually don't get the best grades, as those that just patiently every day study and do the best that they can. So let's pray. God, we just thank you, God, for the things you're teaching us, and we ask that you would give us the humility and strength and grace, patience to run this race that you've set before us. Just give us strength, give us understanding, and help us, Lord, to just wait on you. Thank you, God, for what you've taught us, and just help us to walk in faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.